I put the notepaper down. It stuck to the heel of my hand. Of course I'm listening. I tried to remember what he had said. We have more opportunity than we can satisfy. That's true, Hans. But you know how it is if you expand too rapidly. Hans interrupted. I'd hardly call one new member in 7 years expanding too rapidly. Let us pray. I looked at Hans closely. He had run the "let us pray" onto the end of his sentence so closely I wasn't sure I had heard correctly. But he was well into the prayer. I bowed my head, too, and as Hans spoke I began to get his sense of urgency about finding another man who would give himself with us, full-time, without salary, without reservation. Almost simultaneously, Hans and I thought of the same person. "What about Rolf?" we said together, and then laughed.
"It could be guidance," Hans said.
It could indeed. Rolf was a young Dutch seminary student finishing his postgraduate work in systematic theology. A brilliant theologian, Rolf was still a man of action. That same night I composed a letter asking him if he would consider joining us. And sure enough, on our return to Holland, there was a reply waiting for us. He had read my letter with annoyance, Rolf wrote. Becoming a sticky-voiced, Bible-waving missionary was the last thing on earth he wanted to do. What did I think he had gone to school all these years for if all he needed to know was onward Christian soldiers? But since my letter had come, he went on, he hadn't had a night's sleep. God had thrust it under his nose night and day, eating or working, sitting or walking, until at last he'd given in. And when could he start? And so, kicking and protesting, a third member came to join us. Hans took him right away on an orientation trip into Romania. They had a fantastic time there, seeing a real break in the reserve of the church in that beautiful land. They were spied upon by two men who hardly ever left their sight, but in spite of this, managed to get rid of their Bibles and even to do some preaching in private homes. Rolf came back open-mouthed and utterly convinced. We shared with Rolf our longing for a small-format Russian Bible. Hardly had we finished our tale of difficulties before Rolf echoed Philip Wetstra's thought that we should print the Bibles ourselves. "How much would it cost to print 5,000 Bibles?" Rolf asked. And I had to admit that I had never asked for a bid. Rolf would not let me get away with that. Together, he and I contacted printing houses in Holland, Germany, and England. The best quotation we got was from an English printer who said that with a press run of 5,000 he would print the Bibles for $3 each. "You see," I said to Rolf, Hans, and Corrie the day we received this bid in the mail, "why, that comes to $15,000. Rolf and Hans were amused at me. "You sit there immobilized by such a little matter as money." And of course again they were right.